He is truly that magnificent. It's God. You know, I think this morning God's awakened us a little bit to allow us to realize that we come on Sunday morning to worship a God that will make a difference. And I want to start there today. I want you to know that every one of us have a God that will make a difference. His name is Jesus. And He will not be compromised. How many of y'all realize that humanity cannot compromise the activity of God? We're not in charge. Can you start there? How many of y'all realize you're really not as in charge as you think you are? That's called marriage. When you get married, that's the first thing you get through. The first year, you realize you're not as in charge as what? You think you are. In fact, I got a good friend of mine at the lake. He's an older gentleman, and he's been married for about 40 years, and he tells me all the time, he said, "This is the way I've stayed married, preach." And I said, "Well, how did you stay married?" He said, "Well, I told my wife that I'm going to make all the big decisions." He said, "In 40 years, we are yet to have a big decision." But he said, "You know, my life changed." He changed. God changes us. And I want you to know this. We're not made by ourselves. I want us to come to this. And I've been praying all week. God, break us from our individual mentality. You know why we can't come together? Because we have been conned by the devil. I'm telling you, if there is a nation that's been conned by the devil, we're it. And here's what's so sad for me. The devil's activity shows up in evangelical Christianity about as much as it does as people that don't even know God. Some of the most selfish people I know tote Bibles. Some of the most judgmental people I know quote verses all the time. Amen. This is about Jesus' activity in our life. And you know what I'm praying? God! Will somebody stand up? Will somebody stand up? There's got to be somebody that stands up and says, "Wait a minute, He is who He says He is. His Bible is what it says it is." Right. How many of y'all believe the Bible?
Amen.
I do. I believe it. You know, this is why y'all are in trouble. I believe the Bible. I don't believe the Bible needs help from me. I believe I need help from the Bible. I don't think I need to inject in it something that it doesn't say. It says what it says, and it means what it says. And you say, "Well, Pastor, there's some things in there that don't line up with science." Let me help you. In the beginning was God. Later, science came along. In the beginning, there was God. Later, there was history. In the beginning, there was God. Later, there was psychology. In the beginning, there was God. Later, you and I showed up.
Amen.
Huh? Later. But there is a God. Amen. Go with me to Acts 2. We have the greatest memorial ever sitting right here among us. His name is Jesus Christ. I just want to show you something for a minute. Every one of you that have served in the military at some point in time in your life, if you don't mind, would you stand? Amen. Give them my hand. Thank you all. Thank you all. Hold on. Don't sit down yet. Everybody, amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. All right, everybody in this room, we're not done yet. Everybody in this room that has influenced a child through the educational process in some form or fashion, I want you to stand up. Amen. Everybody that's raised a child, I want you to stand up. Hold on. Everybody, get in. Everybody that has done something to somebody else to make their life better. Hold on. If you're a little slow on that, we'll take care of that today. Amen? Watch this. Everybody now that has been a receiver of somebody doing something for them. That should get everybody. Now, watch this. I did this for a reason, Reverend Reynolds. Then Peter stood up. Lord Jesus, help us understand the gospel. You may be seated. The Holy Spirit had fallen on some faithful followers in an upper room. In Acts 2, they did what Jesus told them to do. He said, go and wait until power falls upon you. Now, I want you to note something in this text. They did nothing to stimulate the power. Amen. Now, note that. There was nothing to stimulate the power. Here's what they did. They did what Jesus told them to do. See, I think our first lie is we try to stimulate power instead of receive it. Watch this. How many of y'all realize that Jesus Christ wants His children to operate in power? You can't deny that in the Bible. In Acts 2, before there was a word preached, there was power given. And so I want to encourage you today that Jesus Christ comes in power. Amen. And here's His power. Meekness and gentleness. Amen. Forgiveness. Restoration. And a new life available. He comes. And in Acts 2, man, the power befell the church. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit here on the Memorial Day weekend. I believe the same power that fell at Pentecost is still at the same voltage in the church today as it was the day it fell at Pentecost. Amen. Watch this. The power didn't fade. But maybe what we lack is nobody wants to stand up. It got crazy, Dave. Look at there. It got crazy. As the power fell, God began to communicate. Now, here's what I want you to know. Listen, there's a section, the first part of Acts 2, and they spoke in a language where everybody could understand. Let me tell you what the miracle was. Here was the miracle of tongues in that passage. God's message got out clearly. Amen. It wasn't a bunch of gibberish. It was a literal language that connected the gospel possibility with the multitude. Amen. A great crowd had gathered. Why? Because power had fallen. Amen. Y'all want to see something happen? Guess what? I do think that we're in need of reckoning with what has been done in us. How many of y'all glad to be forgiven? Amen. See, I think you got to be glad to be forgiven. Somewhere down the line, you got, how many of y'all wake up every morning and say, I am glad to be forgiven? And you all may just not be the sinner that I am. I know that I could be messed up real quick. How many of y'all know you could mess up real quick? And I get criticized by some of my colleagues because I'm not as quick to judge other people, because you know what I know? I haven't walked their walk. I haven't been through their situation. I hadn't been bumped and bruised by their bumps and bruises. And so here's what I want you to know. No matter how you got bumped or bruised, Jesus is the answer. Amen. Now, I think we do have to become convinced of that. Jesus is my reality. Jesus is my reality. Blake is now old enough to have some theological conversation with me. And he said, Dad, I've been listening to you all my life preach. And he said, it's amazing to me that you always get around to the cross and the resurrection. I said, Blake, that's a great question, because here's the reality. Everything operates from that moment. Right. See, I said, what people don't understand, the cross and the resurrection is not a story. It's not an addition to my life. It is the central pivot point of my new existence. I have been crucified with Christ. I don't accept His cross. I am crucified by His cross. That's a little different, isn't it? See, we got this nice, polite, Mickey Mouse, Disney church we've created over the past 70 years. We want everybody to come to church, and we want to pat them on the head, and we want to tell them that they can be forgiven, and then they can go on and do anything they want to do. And that's a lie out of hell. That's a lie out of hell. Because you see, the cross, Nathan, the cross rewires us, redesigns us, and redestines us, repurposes us for a totally new life. And you know what? That's gone on some here at Hillview. But I got to be honest on this Memorial Day. It hadn't gone on like it could go on. Hillview, I tell you, there's a prayer your pastor has every day. I pray to God we never get content. And boy, there's a big old nasty, gnarly demon leans up against this church all the time. Just tells us to keep it like it is. Keep it like it is. Just keep it like it is. There's something you better watch in life. When you want to keep it like it is, just keep it like it is. You're on your way to dying quicker than you would. Jesus said, we need to live. As the commotion of Pentecost came on, there was a guy, the disciple Peter. By the way, I just want to note, he was still there. I just want you to note that Peter, the loudmouth disciple, the one who was quick to speak, slow to think at times, the very one that denied Christ himself three times, but was reinstated after a miraculous catch of fish. This Peter guy, this disciple, this struggler, this man who knew Jesus, this man that Jesus knew, stood up! Then Peter stood up, verse 14. He stood up with the 11. I like it. I just want you to thank God for today. How many of y'all are glad that Jesus stood up? Let me ask you a question. If Jesus was an evangelical Christian in America, would he have ever gone to the cross? Think about our Christianity. Think about all of us together, what you hear people talk about. Would we go to the cross? No, why not? Some of you shaking your heads. There's no way we'd go to the cross. Why? How many of y'all realize the devil is sneaky? Sneaky. Here's what the devil's done. He's tried to associate comfort with forgiveness. I'm going to flip the truth back to you. I think when you're forgiven, you become real uncomfortable because you're now living like you never lived before. And you're contrary to everything else. There's some words that make a difference. Conviction. I want you to write these down. People you remember, they're convicted about something. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus was convicted about your sin? What's this? Jesus was more convicted about our sin than we are a lot of times. He said, this stuff will kill you. And I'm going to go to the cross for it. Here's another thing I want you to, another word I want you to write down, the passion. Jesus was full of passion. I mean, I'm glad to know that we got a passionate Jesus. We don't have a Jesus that steps aside. We have a Jesus that steps into the cross and through death and brings us to life. That takes a lot of what? Passion. So what kind of people do we need to be? Passionate people. Well, the first thing I want to tell us, we got to stand up. And then we got to tell the truth. Peter stood up, he silenced the crowd, and go with me to verse 22, the greatest memorial I know, the greatest moment of human history I know. And I just want to encourage you to share, let's share this together. Men of Israel, listen to this. How many of y'all got a story to tell? Amen. Come on, talk to me a little bit. How many of y'all got a story to tell? Come on, church, I'm trying to wake us up. Watch this, here's another problem we got in the church. We all want to sit and listen. Now, you're going to see in this text, after they heard, they did something. And they never evaluated, well, is this a comfortable place for me? I get so tired of hearing all these believers going, well, I don't know if I can do this. I'm not at peace yet. Let me help you. You start following Jesus, you'll never be at peace. Amen. If you can be at peace in this world, there's only one thing. You're either smoking dope or totally deceived. Or dumb as a rock. Three things are going on. If you have those this morning, repent. I'm serious. There's real issues in this world. There's real intense moments. Peter stands up under the power of God. He stood up so somebody could listen up. How many of y'all understand this? Men of Israel, you listen to this. Where's the church been? Come on. We need to be a living memorial every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday, every Monday at the minute mark. How many of you have a story to tell? How many of you are glad to know that your sin is forgiven, your life has been changed, and heaven is your possibility? Somebody let me know if you know what I'm talking about. You're not what you used to be. I get up every morning. I got to tell you the truth. I get up every morning. I say, oh, Lord, thank you for saving me. Because I probably needed to go to hell. I mean, that's the truth. I wish I could tell you that I was good. I wish I could tell you that I always had good thoughts. When I read the theology of John Calvin and he said that we were all depraved human beings, I didn't disagree with him. I thought about my own life. If I have the opportunity to get more with less, I usually make that decision. How many of y'all look for the easy way? Huh? Yeah. In fact, there was a little guy, one of our boys, he caught me working out in the gym. And I was working out and he asked me, he said, what are you doing, Pastor Steve? I was over there on the bench press and I said, man, I'm working on a six pack. Well, Friday, he said, well, he saw me at the lake and he goes, where's your six pack? Your abs, you know? I said, I got five more to go. I said, right now, it's a uni-ab. Huh? He squared me up. He said, what are you really doing? Are you going to stand up? Are you going to put the work? You know, I just want the easy way out. You know why I got a uni-ab? I don't want to do sit-ups. And I don't want to do aerobics. You know why? I don't like it. I like to lift weights. I lift 3 reps. I talk for 30 minutes. I lift 3 more reps. We call it a workout. You know? I don't even go to the gym with my wife. She moves all the time. She goes, you need to quit talking. We're here to work out. I go, I'm here to drink coffee and get 3 reps in. What are you talking about? It's a social event for me. She goes, you know, you're probably going to be unhealthy. I said, the Bible says we're all going to die. You know, some of us sooner than others because of our choices. The Bible also says Jesus Christ has come so that we can what? Live. So you hear the greatest memorial I know. Men of Israel, you listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. I want you to know that if you look at the history of Jesus, there's no doubt that he was. Even other historians outside of the context of Christianity have verified the existence of Jesus. He is. He said, you saw it. You lived it. How many of you have seen it and you've lived it, but you really haven't stepped into it? Because what's Peter doing right now? He's stepping into it. See, church, watch. I want you to see the wonderful miracles here. You know when wonders and miracles and signs come together? How many of y'all know that those are still going on today? Okay, you ready for this? Y'all ready for this? Y'all 8 o'clock, y'all kind of first string anyway. You ready? Y'all the A team. Here we go. When God comes together with flesh, life is possible. There's Jesus. When the Spirit of God inhabits human flesh, all things become possible. Amen. You know what the world needs to see more than anything? Us being together. If you read on the first part of Acts 2, they were all together in one accord. That means they had one note. They were in one rhythm. They were marching to one tempo. They were together. You know what that means? Not everybody was trying to be recognized. Only God was being glorified. You can't come together till you let Jesus take the lead. Church, can you imagine what we could do together? Because I'm going to challenge you. Your life ought to be a memorial. How many are you going to say about you after you're gone? They moved in wonders and in signs. Watch this. I still think this goes on. How many of you all realize you're a walking miracle? Your sins have been forgiven. That's a miracle. See, I want to bring that back. A lot of y'all are waiting for your eyeball to be healed. Are you waiting for your elbow joint to feel better? Well, guess what? I'm going to tell you about that. I think that's great, and I want to go on record. I believe God can heal your physical ailments, but you will die. Amen. But you know what? Okay, so you get to die with a better feeling elbow. Here's the greatest miracle. When you die, you will live compliments of Jesus. Amen. Well, that's a great memorial, isn't it? When you die, I get to live. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Amen. Awesome.
Everything else is temporary. How many of y'all have lived long enough in here, you know everything else is temporary? Huh? Let me tell you why I follow Jesus. Not just, but you're a miracle. And guess what? How many of y'all leave some signs behind? How many of y'all got some signs in your life that you've been touched by God?
Amen.
Some of you are here today on a Memorial Day weekend. That's a sign.
Amen.
How many of y'all are amazed that Jesus Christ did signs before the Blue Comedy crew did?
Yes.
Jesus said, there's your sign. There's your sign. I'm a son of God. There's your what?
Sign.
He said, you all were aware of this. He said, you listen, men of Israel. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. They had knowledge that Jesus existed. Come on, work with me. How many of y'all know he's existing, but you hadn't stepped into the full impact? Church, I don't want to push us to the next level. I want us to be what we're supposed to be. And that's full of power and full of signs of God's activity. And there ought to be a sense of wonder. How great thou art. This Jesus, he's it. God came through him. God ordained him. God placed him. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. Let me explain this to you. Jesus is God's son. Jesus is God's purpose. Jesus is God's sacrifice. Jesus is God's lamb. Jesus is God's atoning moment. And nobody will take that away. He was set in motion by who? God. And you're not going to remove the motion. I hear all these clowns. They say, well, Christianity's one generation from being extinct. I said, you'll never put the followers of Jesus out. I've read the book. It says we're here in the end.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't give an amount of how many, but it says there's some. How many of y'all are glad to be a part of a faith that cannot be whipped? And boy, let me tell you, if you go read church history, man, people have been against Christianity since Jesus came out of the tomb. And you know why people want to shut down Jesus? Because Jesus frees you.
Amen.
Oh, governments hate Jesus. You know why? He frees poor people. Woo! And guess what governments want to do to poor people? No, they don't want to break them. Oh, no, D. This is government. Government never breaks the poor. They control them. They give them enough lollipops and enough sugar sticks that they go, oh. And then they become dependent on who?
The government.
Government.
Yeah.
And guess who replaces God?
The government.
Government.
No way.
God will always be greater than any government system.
Amen.
What do you think? Socialism, communism, Marxism. God, Lord, humanism. Everybody goes, the secular humanists are taking over. I said, but they can't win. They might have a couple of good plays, but they're not going to win the game. How many of y'all glad to be a part of a Jesus that his purpose is fulfilled no matter what society does? Now, Pam, here's our hope, girl. Jesus stands good for his word. And if you want to leave a living memorial, you got to stand good on your word. You got to stand good on your word. Hillview, we have an opportunity to stand good on our word to the next generations. We're making an investment. We're making a situation. We care. We dedicated a baby this morning. Gavin, what is that? That's a cry of the next what, Liz? generation. Last time I checked, humanity has not ceased arriving. And here at Hillview, apparently we have a large terminal. And they're arriving, the cries, the breath, the possibilities, the new life of a next generation. This message stands good for them also. Check it out. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you with the help of wicked men. How many of y'all realize this? You get in cahoots with wicked men and death will be inevitable.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something. How many of y'all, are you ready for this? Say, yeah, you can tell me, preach. Come on, tell me. Can I tell you? Here's how sovereign God is. God can use wicked men to get His things done.
Amen.
Does it all the time.
What do you think about that? Isn't that a hoot? Isn't that a kicker? You know what I think is going to happen to the devil one day? The devil just thinks he's so intelligent and so smart. He's so slippery and he's manipulated everything. And guess what's going to happen? The devil's going to manipulate the glory of God in. And then he's got to stand before God, and just as he thinks God has whipped him, or he's whipped God, God's going to go, thank you for fulfilling my purpose. How many of y'all realize one day the devil's going to aggravate the church enough to get the real thing loose? And guess what the devil's scared of? The real thing. You know why the devil leaves a lot of churches alone? They're doing a great job for him. He doesn't even want to mess with them. I had a pastor one time, well, we have no spiritual tension in our church. I said, I know. You have no spirit. You hadn't had a baptism in 5 years. They said, but we're a discipling church. I said, no, you're not. You're a literary club. I said, a discipling church has baptisms. A discipling church is on a mission. A discipling church graduates. I said, a discipling church doesn't talk about what's in it for me, but a discipling church always says, where is Jesus in this situation? It's a different philosophy, isn't it? This man, Jesus, changes everything. How many of y'all glad to know this man, Jesus, changes everything? Amen. To me, that's the greatest memorial I know today, amen? Because let me tell you what happened. You, with the help of wicked men, how many of y'all helped put Jesus on the cross? I did. Because you know what Jesus took to the cross? Sins. How many of y'all have participated in sin some form or fashion? Good, just checking. Those of y'all without your hands up, you just did. Called bearing false witness. Every one of us has had a moment. How many of y'all have all had a moment? So guess what? This Memorial Day, I'm going to ask you a question. Who or what will you honor? Who or what will you honor? I mean, is it really that? You know, I love old Bob Whittinghill here. You know why I love you, Bob? It ain't because you got cool hair. Guess what it is? All your life, you've wanted to see people saved. Bob's crazy. He opened up Christian drive-in before Christian drive-ins were even thought of. He hands out tracts. Now, he'll pester you to death. But I love it. I said, Bob's willing to irritate a human being to get him to hear the gospel.
Amen.
That's some serious love. Bob, you're not ever scared of somebody rejecting you, are you? No.
They rejected Jesus.
And while, how many of y'all would like to take the risk of making some difference in somebody else's life? If you do, you will meet crosses. And if you do, you will experience resurrections. Paul knew this. See, a lot of us want to see the power of God. You know, Carolyn, I hear all this talk out of church. They want to talk about the power of God. But I don't see anybody wanting to join his sufferings. I don't see anybody wanting to join his sufferings. I don't hear that in anybody's theology. See, Paul said you won't know the power of the resurrection till you join the sufferings of Jesus. But you know what we want? This is America. We want power without price. Don't believe me? Just listen to the pumps. We want to move the cheapest way possible. And God's not cheap. He's precious. Well, let me finish up. Here's what happened. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. You ready? Verse 24. Don't ever forget this. But God raised him from the dead. Is that not a great memorial? But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. Now, let's thank Jesus for something. How many of y'all are glad to know you're not going to go through the agony of death? Why? Come on, talk to me. Why? He did it. And what's happened to you? Come on. I want somebody to hear the story. Well, let me go over it. Just so you, it may just be the way I'm putting it. It's really great to die sin free. How many of y'all glad to know that when Jesus looks at you, you are forgiven? Now, let me tell you what. How many of y'all going to stand up before Jesus on your own accord? Now, there are going to be a lot of people do that. They do it now. Well, now, I'd really get serious about religion, but I really don't need it. I'm as good as any other church person. I go, well, Lord have mercy. If that's your evaluation scale, let's set the bar about a half inch off the ground. I mean, if all you got to do is be as good as a bunch of church people, Lord have mercy. Amen. Devil will pull that off. I'm talking about, have you realized that you're a sinner? Have you realized the agony of death? And do you know that Jesus has taken the agony of death? But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Amen. 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 We're stopping there today. Is that all y'all going to clap about? You know, if you're going to clap, let's clap. I don't know what, you know what? I just want to encourage you today. I'm afraid we've gotten used to church here. I'm going to shake us a little bit. This is the message we carry and changes us. Did this make sense today? If it didn't make sense today, you're in a hell of a lot of trouble. Because this is the core message. Now, Hillview, let me tell you what. Does it really motivate us, though? You see, if we're going to have a memorial, we need to give to it. We need to be a part of it. We need to teach these kids. I want to thank a lot of y'all. Y'all are teaching the Bible, and you're working in this nursery, and you're giving your money, and you're making it happen. And guess what? We're going to continue on. I mean, y'all glad to know we got a hole in the ground now. You wouldn't believe what a hole cost. It's a hole. It costs money to dig a hole. And I praise God. Listen, y'all need to be praying. I praise God. Montreux and his gang, they dug a hole and we didn't fall into Lost River. That's something to be thankful for on Nashville Road. Amen? Now, guys, listen, have you heard the heart of God this morning? Not me, but God. How great thou... Because he really is. Now today, I want us to come and pray. Listen, I want you to thank God. It's memorial. It's his day. We're going to have Jesus' day at the altar. I think every one of us need to come forward and we need to bend on our knees. And how many of you have forgotten to say this in a long time? Dear Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of my sin. Amen. Good, girls. I'm glad. Thank you for forgiving me of my what? Sin. I think we need to tell him every once in a while. I think Nick, sometimes we walk around like, well, I've been a Christian for 25 years. And God goes, so? And maybe the question's even deeper than that. Not have I been a Christian. How many of y'all, how long have you been a follower? That's a totally different question. Yeah. And did you follow him? See, Nick, a lot of us like to sit on him. I'm bringing my Jesus to church. We're going to hang out, sing How Great Thou Art, and then go on about our Memorial Day. Or do we say, wait a minute, the cross is in me, and the resurrection is over me, and my life is not the same. That's what I operate out of. Since I am forgiven, now all things are possible. How many of y'all believe that? Man, I'm still crazy. I will not let any church beat the hope of God out of me. But I think we need to be crazy again. We're going crazy. What's this? People have no time. What about that building? That building is a micro dot of what God's going to do here. It ain't about that building. You know what that building is? That building is a place to move things forward. But oh, I tell you what I see in that building. Y'all see it yet? I see 3 o'clock on Monday afternoon. All kinds of kids coming into that building. Where are they coming from? School. What kind of kids are they? All kinds of kids. Hellious kids, blessed kids, renegade kids. I want kids like Merle in there. You know, I'm kids. And guess what? I want them to hear about the cross and the resurrection. Well, Pastor Ayers, you can't do that in a public setting. Bring it on.
Amen.
Bring it on. I've been preaching the gospel in the public schools since I was in the public schools. I haven't been arrested yet.
Amen.
The only reason some of y'all worry about it is because you're so dadgum wimpy you won't stand up.
All right.
Stand up. Kathy, you stood up and had some principle. Guess what came with standing up? Hell! Hell came! You stand up for Jesus, hell's on its way! Oh, you can't do that! You can't do this! We've never done it that way before! Oh, what will people think? That's not the question! What has Jesus said?
Be obedient, reach to all nations.
Stand up. I'm going to ask some of you to stand up today. Now, if you really believe this message, guess what you'll do? You'll have somebody that doesn't know Jesus sitting here with you next week.
Amen on that.
How many of y'all still got some seats left in your vehicle on the way here? Fill them up. We got a gas problem.
A bad gas problem.
If nothing else, guess what? Pick up your neighbor along the way. You live there. Put them in the car with you. Put them in the car with you. And if y'all see somebody on the side of the road, grab them too and bring them on the way on Sunday. If they're hitchhiking, say, hey, listen, I'll be glad to take you where you're going, but first we got to come see Jesus. What if they come and ride and get saved?
Amen.
Now, if they got guns on them, call us and we'll let Mark Hale pick them up, okay? He can handle that. Let's make this real. No, listen, y'all think I'm getting crazy. We got to engage with people. That's the greatest memorial. Amen. Arlington Cemetery will always be etched in my mind. Many battles. A lot of death. April the 30th, on my 44th birthday of this year, at 12 noon, I stood on the hill of Gettysburg Battlefield. I like studying just stuff that has gone on in our nation. And I watched the hill that Longfellow and General Lee charged. In 2.5 hours. Now, let me see if you can embrace this in this politically correct world. In 2.5 hours, 7,500 soldiers laid dead. That's 2.5 hours in the Battle of Gettysburg. We're not to 7,000 soldiers in 5 years of war in Iraq. In 2.5 hours, in a 3-day conflict, around 50,000 soldiers laid dead in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. 50,000. That's the city of Bowling Green. My friends, I don't like war. You know why? Because people lose their mamas and their daddies and their aunts and their uncles and their hope. But those who've gone and have fought, I do believe they deserve our respect that conflict was settled. And in World War II, if everybody had sat around and sang Kumbaya, we would all be going Hi Hitler today. But guess what? A nation came to gather. Many men in this congregation flew and were on ships. My father-in-law bounded out of a boat a day after on Normandy Beach. to bring it to a close. Lived his life, educated people, loved his children. He always had a sense of leaving a legacy behind. You know why? He felt privileged to be home. Because he did not come home with all of his buddies. I wonder if you and I lived with the same privilege of being freed from our sins, if it would change the way we organize our lives. Victory is in Jesus. Amen. Well, let's stand together. What'd Peter do? Stood what? If anybody in this place needs to receive Jesus, I don't know how much more clear it could be than today. He died on the cross for your sin. So today, why don't you come and say, Lord Jesus, today's my day. I'm going to make you a living memorial in my life. Because Jesus, I know you died for me. And here's what's even more special. He wants to live in you. How many of y'all realize that today a miracle could be seen, signs could be seen, wonders could fall upon us as people walk out of this auditorium filled with the power of God through the grace of Jesus? How many of y'all going to tell the story? How many of y'all going to tell the story? How great thou art. I just want to open this altar. And a lot of this altar today will be an altar of thanks. So pray, Lord, as this altar opens, we thank you today that you're our God. You never stopped. You never wavered. The cross stood before you. You did not duck it nor sidestep it. But you went through. And now, Jesus, every person taking breath in this place, this worship center, gets to live because you're Lord. So, Jesus, I pray whoever it is and how many there are, that your Holy Spirit would draw them to grace right now. And, Father, that all of us would give thanks today for just a moment that we are freed of our sin and destined to live. This altar's open. Won't you come? Give thanks. Praise God. That he lives on. In the name of Jesus, let's worship.